We are in the midst of a series called The Practicals of Our Faith. We've covered a multitude of topics that we just want to equip you guys to practice in your everyday walking out your faith. We've talked about studying the Bible. We've talked about knowing your calling and walking in your calling, things like that. In the midst of this, we're doing a real short four-part kind of mini-series within that series. We still got music playing? We do. It's like, I'm either here in heaven or we just got to... So in the midst of that, we're doing this mini-series here, and this is called the Prayer Ministry. We're just focusing on how do we pray for people here at Restoration Fellowship. Last week, we just introduced the heart. What is our heart posture when we're praying for people? How do we do that? How do we position our heart? How do we see folks? And then just normal prayer ministry etiquette. How do we want to, you know, pray for people in a safe and loving environment? Today, we're going to talk about praying specifically for healing, for physical healing. Okay? And we're going to present kind of a five-step baseline for you guys. Again, our heart is so that I hope that when you leave today, that you feel confident that you can pray for somebody who's sick. That's what we want to see. We want to present you guys with practicals so you can pray for the sick. I love what Jim said. God wants to use everybody, needs everybody in order to do what he wants to do. And I want you guys all to feel confident in praying for the sick. We're also going to talk about deliverance and prophecy in this series. Now, because Easter's next week, and because we've got some other speakers and things going on, it's going to be a little bit spread out. But once we're done with it, we're going to put this in a little four-part, you know, USB card and give it to the new folks coming to Restoration so they can just immediately understand how to participate in ministry here. So, with that being said, I also want to just give I just want to encourage you that this is not from Justin this morning. This is representing something that I have sat down with our elders over a period of some months, actually, working on this message, on this message series. So in other words, when I'm presenting, this is how we do things at Restoration. That's the heart I'm presenting it from. This is something that we have revised two or three times as a team to really get where we want, so that what I'm saying this morning isn't just Justin's ideas or Justin's methodology. This is Restoration. This is from the elders. This is who we are. So, you guys ready? First things first, we talked last week, and I'm just going to hit it real quick. The paramount guideline is that we want to do everything we do more than we want to see the power of God. We want to make a priority of loving people. Okay? And so we can sometimes get that a little mixed up because we're so zealous about seeing the power of God, seeing them healed, we can actually do things that are unloving and uncomfortable for them. Okay? And get rude and make them nervous and things like that. Now, we mean well, but we can do it in an unloving way. So here we go. This, again, we just touched on this last week, right in the middle of Paul's exhortation of the Corinthians about how to walk in spiritual gifts. In the spiritual gifts equipping class, he gives 1 Corinthians 13, that passage on love that we all quote at weddings and over our family and how we should be nice to each other. That's in spiritual gifts class. So what he's saying is, we'll look at 1 Corinthians 13 too, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, though I have all faith so I could move mountains, and let's just insert that, though I could heal every person that I looked at. He's just making these huge, that's the idea. He says, but if I don't do it in love, I am nothing. Okay, so we want to keep that at the foremost place. Now here is a simple model. I just want to lay this out. This is what we want to encourage everybody here. You don't know where to start. You know what to do. Or you've been doing healing for, you know, been practicing and praying for people for a while. This is the model that we want to encourage you in here at Restoration. So, step one. We want to pray for someone who's sick. Step one is to just interview the person. Ask the person what's going on, and then wait on the Lord. Ask the person, how can I pray for you? Where does it hurt? What happened? When did this start? Those kind of things. We're just finding out what's going on. Many times, there are multiple, you know, reasons for sickness. It's tough to just kind of pinpoint one, and so that's what that's for. We want to understand what's going on so we know how we can pray. Okay? Just get a few pointers here. Just get the facts. This is not a medical interview. Okay? There's probably only a few people in this room that are qualified to do a medical interview. The rest of us, we're just finding out what's going on. Okay? What can you see on a natural level? What do you sense on a supernatural level? This is so important. This is going to play into deliverance, prophecy, healing. We're initially going to ask the person what's going on and how we can pray, and then we're going to ask the Lord what's going on and how we can pray. And we want to encourage them to do that as well. We want to wait on the Lord. Okay? Number two, we want to discern what's going on. Try to discern what's caused the physical symptoms or pain. When it comes to physical infirmity, there may be a variety of biblical reasons the person has a condition. So let's go ahead and flip the page. Here's some biblical. This is in the Bible of what can cause sickness. Okay, number one, disease. Just natural illnesses from the curse, from the fall. Normal sickness. Or someone has an accident. You know, that's just what we're going to call natural illnesses. Okay, sin. The Bible does tell us that sin, someone who's in sin or someone that has sin against them can get sick from that, can have physical infirmities from those things. Emotional hurts, relationship problems, issues of unforgiveness and anger. These are some bitterness and anger has led to a lot of physical infirmity. The Bible's clear on this. And demonic influence, spiritual powers affecting the person. So we don't just get to say, you know, well, we know exactly why you're sick. Because again, there's so many causes. And we don't want to develop some sort of just everybody gets the same prescription. That's not generally the case. It's just not that simple. So we want to try to discern from the Lord how we can specifically pray. So we're seeking that as we're talking to them, but we're waiting on the Lord. What is behind this sickness? What's causing this? Prayer selection. Step three, we're going to figure out how to pray based on what we believe is going on. There's two general categories in which healing prayers fall. We always start by asking God how to pray, and the person requesting prayer. We want to encourage both. So for a long time, when I did ministry, I would wait on the Lord for how I could pray, but I didn't invite the person I was actually praying for to ask the Lord how we can pray, what's going on. Is there something behind the sickness greater than you just don't feel good? And I found a lot more, the Lord would give a lot more through multiple people waiting than just the person praying, okay? Probably because they could hear from the Lord better than me. That's probably what was going on. We're going to ask the Lord what's going on, and then we're going to decide how to pray based on that. I want to be clear on number one here. Biblical prayers directed towards God. This is going to be our go-to for all healing prayer. Prayers of intercession, in which we ask God to touch a person and the condition. We ask God to heal them. Okay, we lay hands on them and ask God to heal them. This is how we should pray when we do not have direct unction of the Spirit concerning the ministry method. This is what I mean. I'm waiting on the Lord. The person's not really getting anything. They're just sick. There's just something going on. We don't have some prophetic word. We're waiting. Nothing's really coming. Our go-to prayer is ask God to heal them. Make intercession for them. Lay hands on them and ask God to heal them. Words received from God. Sometimes God wants to speak something through us to the person. And we may sense we are to pray the following type of prayer. So these are going to be prayers that we have specifically heard the Lord, you know, kind of lead us to pray this way. Number one, prayers of command. where we command a sickness to go in Jesus' name. Now, again, I want to be clear. That is not our default. That is under the unction of the Spirit. The Lord has told us that that's what we're supposed to do in that moment. Words of pronouncement. I sense the Lord is healing you. I believe the Lord is ministering to you. Those kind of things only led of the Spirit. When you feel like the Lord is saying that, that's when you say it. Prayers of rebuke. Jesus rebuked illness in people sometimes. And then finally, prayers of agreement. Agreeing with another person at your shared desire to see God's will accomplished in this person's life. I love that. In Matthew 15, Jesus actually does this. A lady goes, I'm contending for my healing. He goes, I agree with you. And she gets healed. I love that. Here's why I say this. What we end up doing, I was raised in a charismatic environment, and what I was trained is you command every sickness to go in the name of Jesus, right? You command it to go. You command them to stand up. You command. The issue is that we don't see Jesus doing that consistently. We do see him do it. And I believe we see him do it when the Father leads him to do it. Okay, what do we see Jesus doing consistently? Well, let's look at some passages here. Let's look at this progression in Mark. Mark chapter 1, verse 32. At the evening when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. The whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. He did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now, what we're trying to do in this, we're just going to, okay, what was his methodology? How did he pray for these? Like, what did it look like? Well, here's a few things that we know. It was evening, and there was a lot of people. It says the whole city came out. All right? Now, the word many here is translated in other places, great, multitude. Multitudes. The same word is used to speak of the 5,000 that he fed. Now, I don't know if there's 5,000 gathered here for healing, but let's say it's more than 10. I believe it's more than 50 and probably more than 100. Okay, so now what's his methodology in healing 100 people? What is this gospel, or what are the gospel writers going to pick up on? Well, this same story is in Matthew and in Luke. Matthew gives us a little bit more information. In Matthew 8, 16, he says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out spirits with a word, and then he healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet, saying, he has took our infirmities and bore our sickness. So both Mark and Luke say he healed people, but when it came to demonic stuff, he spoke like he was commanding. And telling them things. We see a little bit of a different, they were pointing out a different methodology here. Luke 4:40 gives us a lot more information. Luke says the same thing. The sun is setting. All those that were sick and various diseases were brought to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Well, there's a piece of methodology right there. Every one of them, he put his hands on, touched them. Okay? When demons came, they cried out, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, saying, didn't allow them to speak, for he knew that he was the Christ. So when it came, it seemingly, again, you have this demonstration that there was a difference in the methodology for healing and for expelling demons. He would command demons to go. He'd lay his hands on the sick. Okay, now let's keep going in this progression. Mark 3. So we're in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to go to Mark 3. He told his disciples, Mark 3, 9 and 10, he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. They're wanting healing, and they're pressing in so hard. He's like, get a boat so I can get out in the water. They're trying, they're wanting healing, but I'm going to get crushed. And he healed many, for that as many as had afflictions pressed about to touch him. So what are people picking up on? He's healing multitudes. If they're thinking, oh, I want to get healed, what are they picking up on? There's something to do with getting him lay his hands on him, or having physical touch be involved. Okay? And I just want to pick up on that. It's not that he could just, or he could, but he chose. I think he could do whatever he wants. Do you guys agree? But he chose to say, when it comes to healing, I want to lay my hands on them. I want to pray for them. When it came to demons, he could say it across the room to them. Now, did he do that for healing? He did. We do have stories where he spoke healing to somebody who was actually far away. Didn't even see him and spoke healing. But in general, what the crowds are picking up on is that the methodology for healing, the general methodology, if we could use that word, had to do with one-on-one prayer ministry where they're touching him or he's touching them and speaking to them. Okay? Let's go ahead and go to the next one. Now he's going to train his disciples, I think. Nope, not yet. Not quite. Mark 6. And this is when he comes to the city where they kind of reject him. They don't believe in him. And he says he couldn't heal very many people because not very many people believed in him or wanted to be healed by him. He could do no mighty work there except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. There we see the same thing. So when it comes to healing, he would lay his hands on them and pray for them. Okay? Doesn't mention a rebuke or a commanding. We don't see that. We do see that in the deliverance. But here we're looking at a laying hands on and a praying for. Okay? Then let's look at verse 13. Now I like this one. He trains his disciples, he sends his disciples to pray for people. So they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons, and then anointed with oil many people who were sick and healed them. That's interesting. So when he taught his disciples, they would anoint people with oil and pray for them. What does this mean? It was a one-on-one prayer, and they're anointing them with oil. They're taking the time to touch them, okay, to pray for them that way. Okay? I'm sorry. A flash went in my mind of, kind of a real charismatic healing revival where the healing guy's whacking him with his coat, you know? I don't know. I just had to laugh. That's not what was happening, okay? When Jesus had prayed for people and the disciples prayed for, it was this personal time of prayer. That's what we see. A laying on of hands, anointing with oil, we see it a lot, okay? And I want to present this again as the general way to pray for people. Now, did Jesus do it differently sometimes? He did. And I want to present to you, I believe that was when he was led specifically by the Lord to pray in a different methodology or a different way. I believe his go-to, and I think it's clear when we're talking about praying for hundreds, this is how he did it. And this is what the gospel writers said, what they saw. Okay, let's look at 55 and 56. Mark 6 again. Same thing, multitudes. And when they came out of the boat, immediately people recognized him and ran through the whole surrounding region. People began to carry about on beds those who were sick, wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, the country, they laid the sick in marketplaces. They begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. That's an interesting one, because we only think of the one gal who reached out and touched his tassel and thought, if I can just touch him, I'd be healed. But what we see is, like, this was common. That there was something to do with the prayer ministry for healing where he would lay hands on people. Okay? And so I just want to present that to you, as I believe what's put forward in the scriptures is that most of the prayer ministry or the healing ministry of Jesus was a laying on of hands and a general prayer for God to heal. We see him commanding, rebuking illness. We see that. We see him just telling people, get up, you're well. We see that. We see him rubbing mud in a guy's eyes and just saying, what do you see? Well, I see people walking around like trees. Here, let me do it again. What do you see now? Like, we don't see him commanding blindness to go in that guy. Right? Now, I'm not saying we should spit and make mud. I'm just saying If the Spirit leads you in a different way and you're confident, you follow the Spirit. If you don't have leadership of the Spirit, just give that general prayer of healing. Okay? But again, I want to encourage you. It's a waiting on the Lord thing. I don't want to get into a mode where we command and we rebuke every sickness. It's not what you see him doing, is what I'm saying. But it's common in the charismatic circle. Okay? Number four, engage in that prayer. Okay, so you feel led to pray, pray. Pray how the Lord leads you. If he doesn't, if you're not feeling unction, pray in general. Move into prayer, laying our hands after what? After we ask permission to do it. That's right. That's right. We want to ask permission to lay our hands on people. And then asking further interview questions as necessary. So as you're praying, you might get something and keep that, you know, dialogue going. Having decided how we'll pray, we'll move forward, trusting, we are sensing what the Father is doing in this person's life. Here's a few pointers. Keep your eyes open. It's common, we're praying for people, we have our eyes shut. Just as people have matured in ministry, myself, the more we did it, the more I realized I need to keep my eyes open to see what's going on. And I, sometimes I can tell, you know, when a person's being touched just by watching. Or I can see what's kind of going on around me. All right? Keep your eyes open when you pray for people. Ask questions to find out what the Lord might be doing. So as you're praying, just say, hey, are you feeling anything? What's going on? Stop praying when they think it's over. Who's in charge of the ministry time, you or the person you're praying for? The person you're praying for is in charge. That's right. That's loving. When the Spirit tells you it's over, you've run out of things to pray for, or it's going nowhere, okay? You're going to pray, and it's okay for that prayer time to be over. A lot of times, we get so stirred up that we want to see this person healed, and we will press beyond probably where we should, and for whatever reason that person's not being healed, that's okay, okay? And we'll keep going here. What if they don't get healed? Post-prayer. The prayer focuses on physical healing. The results of healing prayer can be many. Offering some simple next step directions might be helpful. If the person was healed or had a significant breakthrough, then I would say encourage them to continue to walk closely with God. Okay? A life of worship, Bible reading, church connection. If there's somebody that's not in a church, encourage them to get in a church. Encourage them to avoid sin. This is what Jesus did when people got healed. This is how he would encourage them. Okay? Seek confirmed healing by a medical professional. If they think they got healed, tell them, especially if this person's on some sort of medication or something like that, say, hey, go check this out. Make sure you're healed. Okay? If a person was not healed or did not have a significant breakthrough in the area of need, reassure them that God loves them. This is big. We really want to do this, okay? Reassure them that God loves them and can use all things for the good of those who love him. Encourage them to continue to seek healing. This is not a one and done. There's so many testimonies out there about the person who contended for healing and then year six. Why year six? I don't know. We don't know the mysteries of these things, but we know that not everybody gets healed on the first time they get prayed for. We know that some people get healed on the 100th time. I don't know. We'll get into some of the other things concerning when they don't get healed here in a minute. But we just want to assure them, whether they're healed or not, God loves them. God is working in their life. God wants nearness with them. And God can use even physical infirmity for the good. We see that in the Bible. Okay, so that's your general. This is just boom, boom, boom. I wanted to lay it out real simple. Verse one, we ask and we wait. Second, we discern what's going on with this person. Three, we figure out how we're going to pray. We don't have directions, we just do a general prayer for healing. Okay, number four, we pray until we're done. Number five, if they get healed, we celebrate that and we encourage them to walk closely with the Lord. If they don't get healed, We encourage them that God loves them. We want to continue to pray for their healing. Don't give up. Keep pressing. Jim Smith, the chief of Keep Pressing. All right? I love that word. We want to keep pressing in. Okay, immature or wrong practices. So let's face it. We're all on a journey of maturity in our Christian understanding and practice. The following list are things that we're going to label as immature or wrong when it comes to the theme of healing. If someone believes or practices these things, our approach is just to point out the immature practice. To say, hey, this is it's a little bit immature, this idea, or the way that you're doing it. It's unhelpful, it's unloving, those sorts of things. It's unbiblical sometimes. But here's what we want to keep in mind. Even people that are doing things in an immature or wrong way, which I have done, which we've all done, we mean well. The heart's there. So we want to be gentle when we bring correction, okay? No one's trying to do it wrong. Okay, number one, we see this a lot in immaturity, a dramatic delivery. The power to heal is from God through grace. The methodology of that healing is only powerful when it's led by the Spirit. Okay, so it's dramatic to rub mud in a person's eyes. Much more than just praying for him, right? Can we just agree on that? All right. Was the rubbing of the mud in the eyes the powerful thing, or was it was he was doing what the Father told him to do in that moment? Okay? So drama by itself, unled by the Spirit, is not helpful. There's not more healing power giving to those who shout. There's not more healing power given for people who shake. Or even, there's not more powerful, like, the, it's not in the methodology. Jesus didn't go to the next person and say, hey, the mud thing! Who's the next blind guy? I've got some mud for you. Right? We don't want to repeat the same methodology that we were led in, thinking that that's where the power was. The power's in God. Okay? And he doesn't always heal the same way. I mean, read the gospel. People say God never healed the same way twice. Well, I think he laid his hands on a lot of people and healed them that way, a lot, hundreds. Sometimes he commanded them to go. Sometimes he did the mud thing. Sometimes he told them to get up. Sometimes, you know, he rebuked spirits, rebuked fevers. All right? We want to get a dependence on the Spirit. A dramatic delivery or methodology is simply that, dramatic. That's all it is without the leadership of the Spirit. And unhelpful. Okay, number two, a formulaic guarantee. Avoid promoting or walking out formulaic methodology when it comes to healing prayer. The healing that was manifested through the ministry of Jesus and his disciples was anything but formulaic. We see it different ways all the time. Doing it different. I mean, how formulaic is this? Peter's walking down the road and a shadow heals a guy. All right, it's just shadows now. Here, let me come. Where's the sun at? Where are you, sick guy? Okay, I'm going to stand here. Shadow. Right? That would have been wrong. It wasn't in the methodology. It was in what the Father was doing in that moment. Okay. Seemingly, it was a little different depending on what the Father was doing or saying. So we don't want to get into a formula. Number three, high-pressure practice. This is just simply unloving. I know where it's coming from. We want people to be healed, but we'll get real high pressure about it in our zeal. People become uncomfortable or feel controlled when you walk out a methodology that puts the pressure on them to tell you they feel something or are healed in order for the ministry to end. Be careful and gentle when asking them to do something that they're used that would generally hurt. We ask them to try it, to test it out. Have you guys seen this sort of healing methodology? I actually appreciate this, but where I go, ooh, is that we're going to say, hey, do something that hurts. And we're just like, keep doing it till you're healed. Like, I want to be careful with that, all right? I do appreciate, hey, let's see if the Lord did something. But, okay, if it's always hurt to do this, just try it out. And, okay, well, that let's keep praying. Or, wow, right? We're going to say, okay, keep trying. Keep checking. Okay, there's a place where eventually, and I think we've all been in those situations, we can get high pressure enough that we're just like, we're going to make them feel like we're not going to stop till they get healed, and pretty soon they'll lie to us and say they're healed, so we leave them alone. Okay? It's okay. Again, we want to check it out, but just be careful That what we're staying in this loving place of just saying, can I keep praying for you? You want to be done? That's okay. Let's pray for you next week again, if you want to. Okay? Number four, inner healing is not deliverance. Okay? Now, we're going to make a bigger deal out of this when we get to deliverance, but I want to, we all see examples in the Bible, and I think we all know that there can be demonization involved with physical illness. Okay? There can be satanic things behind that, and sometimes we're going after deliverance or inner healing as part of healing, part of physical healing. And it's easy in our immaturity to see these things as the same thing, inner healing and deliverance, but they're not. Inner healing is a ministry geared towards helping an individual find freedom from strongholds, ungodly beliefs in the mind. Okay? Deliverance, on the other hand, is ministry geared towards people being set free from demonization at any level. And there's two different ways to go about this, okay? When someone is demonized, deliverance is the only thing that'll work. Commanding the demon to go is what works when somebody's demonized. When someone has a stronghold in the mind, they believe lies, what needs to happen in that moment is they need a renewing in the truth. They need a renewing of their mind to combat the lies. You cannot, in the name of Jesus, a thought out of it, unless it's a demon thought. Right, but if someone has a stronghold of the mind, it's in the mind where the battle is. Okay, if someone has a demon, it's casting out the demon. Now, sometimes there's some overlap there. Demons can speak lies. But we want to make sure we see the difference. Okay, if someone, again, we tend to want to command, I see this more, we tend to want to command thoughts, strongholds of the mind to go as if they're a demon. Okay? And many times they're not. Something has happened in their past. They've been doing a certain thing for a long time and have a certain way of thinking, okay? And it's led to trouble in their life. Satan or God is the source of every negative thing. This is a kind of an immature view of how you're going to pray for healing, that Satan or God is the source of every negative thing. From the charismatic church, it's definitely Satan, okay? In the non-charismatic church, it's a lot more God. God is punishing you. You have sinned, so God is doing this in your life. That sort of thing. It's in the non-charismatic. In the charismatic circle, Satan is the cause of all trouble. Okay? In general. Now, this is an unbiblical idea to universally blame Satan or God for negative circumstances, specifically healing. Commonly in charismatic spaces, it's Satan. In other spaces, it's God. Biblically, it's just not that simple. It's just not that simple. Okay? The causes of sickness and someone else's personal sin, God, Satan, personal sin, someone else's sins, results of the curse of the fall, accidents, imperfection, poor judgment. These are all biblical examples of sickness or infirmity. This is how it happens. Okay? I have a few verses there. In the charismatic space, typically, it's almost like blasphemy to say that God causes sickness. However, it's very biblical. And what happens is in the charismatic space, they say, well, God, if I say God causes sickness, it's going to cause them to believe that God doesn't want to heal them. So we're not going to say that. What we have is a clear biblical test that God can cause sickness, and when he does it, so that they'll repent so he can heal them. Okay, so I assumed that because we're charismatic, we didn't need verses on how Satan causes sickness. We all believe that one. But I did some verses here about how God causes it. Okay, again, we want it to be simple. It's not. All right? Acts 12:23 is one that shocked me as a new believer. Because I kind of had this, and this is very wrong theology, but I kind of had this, well, I know that God caused plagues in the Old Testament, but not now. Jesus doesn't do that. You know, that only, you know, just kind of wrestling through this wrong idea of the Trinity and how it works. But in Acts 5, we have a New Testament reality where Ananias and Sapphira lie to the Holy Spirit and they die under the judgment of the Lord. You have Acts 12:23. You've got Herod, And he does something so egregious to God that God sends an angel, and immediately an angel of the Lord, not Satan, not a demon, struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. Okay, we just want to simplify things biblically. You can't make it that simple. Okay, harmful. So that's immaturity, just some of those ideas that we can come into maturity, we can come into better understanding. Okay? Harmful practices or beliefs. The following list is things that we believe to actually be harmful. We're going to take a much stronger stance on these things. If we see these things being done or hear about it or we're part of it, we want to tell a leader, and that leader needs to tell the elders. Okay? Now again, people are probably trying to just do what they've been taught, or they're being, you know, real genuine, but it's so harmful, it needs to be stopped. Okay, number one, putting the burden on the person rather than on God for healing. The common denominator in most harmful practices that comes from a wrong and unbiblical understanding where the belief is that the individual bears the burden of producing the healing. In other words, if you don't get healed, it's your fault or your shortcomings that have kept you from your healing. Let's go ahead and flip the page. Your healing is dependent upon your psychological certainty that Jesus will heal you. This idea is very common, that faith to be healed is psychological certainty. You know that you know that you know psychologically that God wants to heal you. That's faith. And if you have enough of that, you'll get healed. Very common. It's just not biblical. It's not biblical. Okay? How do we know this? We know this because Jesus laid his hands on hundreds of people and healed them before he even proclaimed that he was the Messiah. We just read it in Mark. They came to him get healed. How much faith do you think they had that by his stripes they were healed? Zero. He didn't do that yet. Right? How much faith did they have on the disciples anointed people with oil? They'd say, hey, by his stripes, have faith, he'll heal you. There wasn't that. Right? They did the acts. Here it is, gang. They did the signs. God did the signs and wonders of healings so that they would believe. Not because they had it. Okay? It just doesn't stand up. This idea that if you just, it's all based on the psychological certainty and the knowledge that you have about how, you know, the atonement works and this is how healing happens. It's just not a biblical idea. Hundreds and hundreds of people were healed in the Gospels that had zero psychological certainty or faith that they'd be healed. Okay, how about the guy, the shadow? Again, I use this as an example. The shadow heals a guy. That was like a, what just happened? Okay? Peter didn't have, just surprised Peter that his shadow healed somebody. Okay? That's the idea behind it. Mark 9, I love this story. The guy says, the disciples couldn't heal him. He says, if you can heal him, would you? Is that person believing beyond a shadow of a doubt? If he says, if? No. And Jesus says, if I can. Right? I love that. And then he says, anything is possible with God. And the Father says, okay, just help my unbelief. I believe, but help the part, because I'm still saying if. That's what he's saying, right? Like, help the parts of me that doesn't have psychological certainty. What does God do? He heals him. Why? To bolster his faith. Okay? He says, help my unbelief. And Jesus says, I'll help your unbelief. In the name of Jesus, get out of him. And then the disciples say, how come you can do it? He says, this one comes out with prayer and fasting. Okay, that's interesting to me. Not this one comes out because you didn't have enough faith. All right, let's keep going. John 2, John 22, 211, 223, 6:2, 26, 12:37, over and over. Here's why I'm doing the signs of healing, so that you would believe. In other words, you don't. So that's why I'm doing this. Okay. Okay, if someone is in our midst saying you're not being healed because you don't have enough faith, this takes a person who's already hurting and makes them feel worse, and it's unbiblical, and we're actually going to call this abusive. It's abusive. It's cruel. Okay? There are terrible stories about this. I'll give you two in my own life. Twice. We had a miscarriage. Many of you guys ran, you know, were with us during that time praying for us. When the baby died, I had someone come and tell me it's because I didn't have faith. All that produced was pain. I think the person meant well, okay? But it was just so painful and manipulative and abusive to my heart because there was nobody on the planet that wanted to see this baby alive more than me. My wife, probably, more than me. Another person came and told me that the baby died because of my sin. Just terrible, right? They feel like they're really trying to help. They want us, but in the midst of that, it's really, really bad theology. It's really painful. God's will for you is to be healed immediately all the time. Again, just doesn't hold up biblically. We see people contending for healing in the Bible that don't get healed. We have Galatians 4, where Paul says, the whole time I was with you, the whole time I was in Galatia, which was some months, he had problems, a physical ailment with his eyes, and he said, the whole time I was with you, I wasn't healed of this. But you didn't judge me as less godly for it. That's interesting to me. You guys can read that on your own. We'll keep moving here. 1 Timothy, hey, you have frequent stomach illness. Here's the problem. You don't have enough faith. No, he says, here's the problem. Drink a little wine. Because for some reason, you keep having these stomach ailments and we can't figure it out. Do you think they prayed for healing for that? Over and over and over. I bet they did. But for whatever reason, he wasn't getting healed. And Paul says, hey, try some wine. Okay, let's keep going here. Your sin is always the hindrance to your healing. We kind of talked about this. Can sin have something to do with your sickness? Yes. Is that always the case? No. Jesus, this boy is sick. Was it his parents that did this? Was his parents' sin or the boy's sin or who? What the sin caused was it? This is none of it. It's not a sin problem. Okay? We can't just, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. All right, Daniel, would you come up? Here's what I believe that is one of the hardest things to grapple with when it comes to prayer ministry. Well, specifically, seeing God break through in prophetic and healing and deliverance specifically is we struggle with mystery. We struggle with the why questions, and we want solid answers as to why. So I think you have two, you know, opposite spectrums when it comes to healing. We have a camp that says, God heals everybody all the time, no matter what, and if you're not being healed, there's something wrong with you, and you need to figure out what that is and fix it, and then God will heal you. So everybody gets healed. What do we do with the mystery of not being healed? Well, here's what we do with it. Okay, we have an answer for that. It's because you've got something going on that you're not repentant for or don't have enough faith. Then you have another camp over here that says, God doesn't heal you because he doesn't heal today. You have that camp. That's their answer for the mystery of why God doesn't heal everybody. He just doesn't do it. Okay, both of these camps, both the extreme faith camp and the cessationist camp, can't grapple with the mystery. In the middle is people contending for healing, and sometimes people get healed and sometimes they don't, and they say, it's a mystery, we don't know, we're going to press in for God's promises of healing in everybody, we want to continue to pray, and if God chooses to heal them today, amen, if he does it next week, amen, if he heals them in the resurrection, amen, he will heal you. And we don't know why he does what he does, when he does, how he does. We know that he's good. We know that he's right. We know that he uses every single circumstance in our lives to to bring us into the fullness of love. Victory in every circumstance. In the midst of the mystery. But I know this, that one of the signs of the kingdom that he wants to see in his church is when his people lay their hands on people and pray for them, they get healed. Why? Because he's bringing witness that the kingdom of God is coming. That's why he does it. We believe this, so we're pressing for this. We want to see the kingdom manifest. We want to promote the kingdom. We want people to believe, so we're going to pray for healing. We want people who are suffering to be healed. When it doesn't happen, we don't have this, you know, all of our reasons. We can just say, man, I'm going to keep praying for you. I don't know why. We don't know why, but I know this. God loves you, and he can use this in your life in the meantime. All right? Amen. Let's stand. Here's what I'd like. If you have a real, like, you, when you pray for people, they get healed or have in the past, I'm going to say you probably have the gift of healing or the starts of it. Would like for you to come up. If you have a real zeal to pray for the sick people. I'm seeing, you know, a few faces in my mind. Ross back there. I'd like for you to come up. Stan, Rod, where are you? There you are. Come on up. If I don't call on you, I, please don't be offended. But I know just a few guys that really have just a zeal to see physical healing. Now, if you have physical ailments going on in your life, it is significant to the Lord. It's significant to the Lord, and he wants the body of Christ to pray for those that are sick in their body. Okay? If you got a cold, if you got cancer, don't look and say, well, someone's more deserving of prayer than me. You're all deserving of prayer. Jesus died for every one of you. Jesus loves every one of you. We want to see it manifest here. So if you have physical, anything going on physically, we want you to come up and get prayer. If you want the gift of healing in a greater way, we want you to come up and get prayer. So just talk to people. Say, hey, I'm here because I want to pray for the sick. I want to have more confidence when I lay my hands on them. So we want you to come up. Tell the ministry people that. Go ahead and just pray for the gift of healing. Jesus, we ask you that you would manifest the gift of healing in our midst in a greater way. Lord, that you would cause us to walk in healing power by your will. God, we ask that we would see this in a greater measure in the marketplace, in our midst here in Pagosa Springs, in our everyday lives. God, we ask that you would equip this church family with confidence in praying for healing for one another, for unbelievers. We ask that you'd help us to walk in love this morning.